The Guardian.
This podcast is part of The Guardian Small Business Network's Adventures in Business series, supported by Hiscox Insurance. Find out more about getting the right cover for your business at hiscox.co.uk/businessinsurance. Meet Emily. Emily is the co-founder of CNIT. CNIT is an app which helps large organisations around the world to engage their customers in storytelling through video. They've worked with everyone from the BBC to the Body Shop. It all started for Emily at university, where she studied graphic design and visual communication.
I love film, I loved working in storytelling, and so I thought my immediate first job, sort of dream job, would be working in feature film. So I went to go and work at Working Title, where I got a job there for about a year before going and working on film sets. And I loved it, but I think I realised that you kind of give, you know, huge amounts of time to these films, and it's not very fast-paced turnaround. And at the end, I sort of got to work on a hit and then one that didn't go as well. And I think after that, I became excited by short-form content and fast-paced turnaround. I left working in film and I actually took a job. I had an opportunity in Cape Town in South Africa, where I moved to work for a smaller production company where I could produce or kind of get involved in wildlife films they were creating and these incredible behind-the-scenes documentary pieces, which actually have gone on to be turned into a TV series. But it was a smaller team. I could get more hands-on, get involved in actual filming. And I think that gave me the confidence to take a step and see if I could create one of my own videos. So I went to go and film a big protest that was happening. But as soon as I got to the crowd, I felt that everyone was already capturing this story around this protest. You know, everyone had the banners, the cameras. They were filming on their own phones. And why was I trying to compete and why was I trying to tell their story? So I ran around the crowd and started to collect in their video. In complete excitement, I think at that point I realised that the whole world is being recorded in this completely new way, and this opened up the industry to a new production model. However, my background had really only ever been in the creative storytelling side and not as much in the business side. I actually ended up teaming up with a friend of mine who I worked with, and we both sort of were bouncing this idea, and then quit our jobs, moved to the UK and set up a production company. Super hands-on, very manual at the beginning. It was really just the two of us, and we would go around charging people's phones at festivals in exchange for their videos. We pushed this to car races. We did some work with charities. It certainly wasn't scalable, but it taught me so much about the crowd and video and this demand that these large organizations were actually having for video content. And as the company started to develop, I think what I was learning is that as a co-founder, actually we sort of didn't really work. We kind of wanted to do the same role and had probably quite similar skill sets. He was actually much sort of more probably kind of business savvy and had experience working in large companies. I was the more creative side, but really what we wanted to be doing day to day was very similar. And that started to have a bit of a clash. And it's so difficult because, you know, you're kind of going head to head, you're giving it everything, and both of you are. And it's very difficult when it comes to the point or the realization moment that, you know, this just isn't going to work. And actually together as a partnership, it's not working. And it's not to say that either of you aren't going to make it, but it definitely came to the point where we realised that, you know, we weren't going to be able to build a business together. That really knocked me. I think I kind of lost confidence. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was very lost in terms of the direction that, you know, I wanted to go, that I felt I could go.
After such an enormous blow, Emily had to spend a lot of time building herself up for the world of business. When she was ready, she decided to get a bit more help and joined an accelerator program.
So I went to an accelerator called Collider. I knew there that I could have, you know, the support network, mentors, industry experts, and also some funding. I mean, I had no idea how to raise money. I hadn't sort of done that before either. And so fundraising was just a really foreign idea for me. I didn't even know how to start. And I remember talking to someone and they just said, well, you just ask someone for money and see what they say. they highly recommended or sort of really suggested that I was actually a co-founder again, rather than being a sole founder, because by this point I transitioned the idea to be a tech platform and an app rather than a production company. So I really needed the tech knowledge and experience in the team. I brought on a developer who I'd worked with previously to be my co-founder, and we kicked off January 2014 on the program and founded Scenit. From there, I really sort of began to get my belief back. I began to get my confidence back. The first clients that we worked with, the feedback I was getting, they really helped me put the trust and belief in what I was doing. And I think slowly it kind of started to build momentum. I managed to, you know, recruit an employee, which again was an amazing feeling to be able to bring somebody into the vision so early on. He's still with me today, actually, in the company, a guy called Ed. And from there, we were able to start working with more clients, start charging money, and bring a little bit of revenue into the business. Actually, as the company sort of went on, the co-founder that I brought in, again, it didn't work out. He isn't with the company today. And I think at that time what happened is, you know, not everyone should be or probably wants to be a founder. It's a complete lifestyle choice. It's all-consuming. It's 24/7. You have to give it everything you've got, and you have to believe in it with all your might. Your resilience has to just be another level. And I think that, you know, my co-founder at the time was incredibly talented and very innovative and liked the new ideas and the new ideation. And so 18 months in, felt that, you know, maybe the product had got to a certain point and actually he wanted to go and do something new again. So we had a conversation about it, and I think he was also interested to join another company rather than join another kind of roller coaster of the startup life in the first 12 months of doing it, which really is just an unbelievable kind of journey. And so, you know, he's now not with the business either, and I do often think, you know, that there is a lot of pressure on people as soon as they come up with an idea to find another co-founder. It's sort of the first step that people talk to you about. And I don't know if that's right. I think have your idea and have your belief in it and have trust in yourself to kind of go for the idea. And then it's all about team. It's about founding a team around you. They don't need to be a co-founder, because actually sometimes that gets more complicated. But you do need talent. You need people that you're going to trust and can rely on. But not having the pressure of having to have somebody right up from the start, calling them a founder, means that the team that you can build over time is the right team. You learn who you need in your team. You learn what the right skill sets are, what the right cultural fit is. And that does take time, and I don't think it should be rushed. And I probably did rush it both times, and, you know, from both sides, then that didn't work out. And I think as well, I've had a few conversations with other founders too. That moment when you realize that you don't know if the kind of founder relationship is working is terrifying. I mean, it's kind of like going through a divorce or like having to break up with like a soulmate. Like it's a really big moment, because you're also having to back yourself. And if you've gone through the nervousness of stepping away from a co-founder relationship, you do feel a bit kind of insecure, and you're questioning whether you're the right one. I mean, maybe they should be taking it forward. So going through those sort of back and forths is terrifying, but I think that you should take that step and back yourself, and I am so happy that I did. And I think that where the company is today, it's there because of the team around me and because of the other people that have come in along the way, and I'm just eternally grateful for that. And it has taken time. It's 3 years now, and the team that's in place feels like the right team.
What does the future hold for Emily and Scenit?
Do you know what? I've got no idea, and I think that that's part of the exciting part of it. I'm going now to conferences that I never thought I'd have the chance to go to speak at. I'm having opportunities that I find out on a weekly basis that I would have never predicted I would have on my plate a year ago. I don't know what it holds. I know that the vision of the company. I know that I want this to be a global business. I know that I want to win the race and be the leading platform in the industry to help companies create with their communities. But where that means I will be, who knows? I just want to keep going, keep working with the team, keep growing. And it's kind of just fighting fires and taking every day as it comes. But I am unbelievably excited about what does lie ahead. Who knows? Fingers crossed. Build a really good support network around you and talk to people, listen to people, spend time with them. And I don't mean kind of like industry experts, of course them as well, but also friends who are excited by life, excited about their jobs, and give you that motivation and the passion that you need, even if it doesn't align with what your business is. I think you need to be feeding off that energy, especially in the early days, because it is tough and there are hard days, but there are also days where your whole body is just fizzing and you just can't believe you're getting to do this every day as a job. So I just think surround yourself with those people who inspire you.
This episode of the Small Business Podcast was produced at The Guardian by Rowan Slaney and presented by me, Coco Khan, a specialist journalist. To hear more great stories, subscribe and review on any of your favourite podcatchers and join the discussion on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Guardian Podcasts.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.